Welcome to Miracle Nutrition with Hardy White. Join me now, won't you? Now, not everybody celebrates Thanksgiving, and not everybody even calls it Thanksgiving. What do celebrate? My family always called it brown time. We had the same foods or similar, but we had different traditions maybe than you had, or maybe we had none at all, and maybe you have none at all now. So my friends, I, your friend, Hardy White, would like to offer my pipe, it may or may not be real. It doesn't have to be on radio, and my fire, which is also not real. It is a space heater, because I practically need one now. I don't mean just barely. I mean, for all practical purposes, my feet need to be heated in order to complete my mission. What is my mission? To entertain. To tell you a story on this, what might be Thanksgiving for you. You may be gathered around the stove as we speak, cleaning up, because people eat inexplicably early on Thanksgiving. I think they just want to get it over with. I remember that going to your grandmother's or great-grandmother's or some other ancestor. We'd pick one. Sometimes we're going to 6th great-grandmother's house, and she's not looking good. And we'd go over there and say, what time is dinner? Say, it's 1 p.m., and we're going to eat then. Is it not lunch? No. It's Thanksgiving. We do it early because people want to go on and do things like watch sports, or someone has a bank robbery they want to do, and they need to tunnel in on a holiday, and it is one. So I don't know what your family observes or anything like that, but I'll tell you, Thanksgiving is not just one thing, and the food isn't always one thing. A lot of times people have turkey, but not all. And you even heard, I'm sure, when you were coming up about the real Thanksgiving, how what we call turkey is what they used to call eagle. And so they get those two confused now, just the way that what they said back then was corn, they meant wheat. So if they said something like, get me a corn turkey, it'd be a wheat eagle is what they want. I just sold a wheat eagle, 1921, 10-cent piece wheat eagle. For $50. No, that is not true. That's right. This is sort of a liar's club that I do here. When Larry King left his radio show to go into space to follow Sun Ra, he left it to David, I want to say Steinmuller, but that's not a name. And he had it for a while. He was a stand-up comedian. And he was not used to radio, perhaps. And those are big shoes to fill. Larry King's shoes were big old clown shoes for some reason. He felt comfortable in them. So David Brombramber was trying to fill them up. And he didn't have anything going. And he said, let's do something called Stump the Hand. And he'd say, "What? Guess what's in my hand? Brenner." I'd say, no, it's not a Brenner. It's a lighter. And so people go, Now, I could do that, too. I could say, what am I holding? And you tire of that game, because it could be virtually anything. And there's some things you wouldn't even want to entertain. You wouldn't even want to think about. Does think about and entertain mean the same thing? Can you imagine that? If by thinking about something, it meant that you had to invite it to a party. So I'm entertaining a thought. What is the thought? Oh, Lord. I'm having some, now I have to have some party, the kind I think I saw in Beyond the Valley of the Dolls. And I don't want to have that kind of party. I just want to have a cookout or something. Everybody eats different things. I am willing to accommodate it. We all have different, I hang out with different species too. So I'm used to different dietary needs. Some people need all different things. I've been at an interspecies party where some of the guests' diet is also some of the guests. So I don't know what to do there. We had a snake and a mouse situation. And I went, well, ba-da-ba-boop-lop. And so I was talking to the snake and I said, you can eat mice. And he said, yes. And I said, but you, can you eat anything else? And he said, yeah, I guess I could. I said, could you eat, like, I don't know, like a sock by mistake? Or I don't know. I'm throwing things out there. I'm throwing them and you can hit them. It's a batting cage, sort of. That's the way my grandfather would sit around the fireplace and he'd say, are you warm? And he said, listen, I'm going to toss out some stories. Now, if you don't like them, you'd hit them right back or hit me. I said, Grandpa, I can't do that. He said, well, okay, don't hit me. Well, heckle me then. I said, I don't know if I'm comfortable doing that. And then he'd call me names. He'd go, fat, you're fat. And I go, oh, that's hurtful. He goes, I'm sorry. And he'd get all apologetic, and then he'd give me a gift certificate. This would happen every single year. How are you? Are you making food right now? Let me tell you something. If we're going to make up our own mythical holiday of conceiving something, now that's a totally other word there, but if thinking about something means that I have to bring it to the party, let us concoct our own holiday, and I will make up some characters, and we're going to bring them with us. Number one, the character Mrs. Giuliano. Now, I forgot her first name. It was a mother of a friend of mine. And she invited me over, and I think a teacher and somebody else, and I don't know if it was, probably wasn't for Thanksgiving, but it might have been the day after. And I've never seen so much food. There was turkey, but there was also all this Italian food. And it was the kind you get at a restaurant, really. So many different things. The sauce contained every meat. Now, you say, oh, I don't like meat. Well, imagine it's a beautiful carrot or something is in there. Or something you do like floating in the sauce. What's something you do like to eat? Custard. I don't know. Anything else? Celery? No, I don't know. I'm just going to sit here, keep naming things. Oh, now I'm on the spot. Go ahead. Should it be like a meat substitute? That's up to you. That's up to you. I'm not going to put words in your mouth or anything. What do you want to put in your mouth?
Doesn't have to be food either. It could be plastic or...
Okay, listen, forget it. I don't know what was in there. All sorts of good stuff. Stuff I liked at the time. I don't know what to tell you. So she should be part of the myth. Where's she from? No one really knows. She came over years ago from Palermo. And she came over because she won a song contest. She was a singer. And she was on the radio. And then, when she was very little, she fought in a boxing match Rose Marie, who was like 9 or 10. And they went at it, boom, 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 like that, to see which little girl, Italian singer, was going to be given magic powers by this firm in New York. I don't think they have them anymore. They used to have these. You say, is that the mafia? No. It was more like a magician's guild. And sometimes they would give children magic powers. And among them was the ability to make food with a limited amount of ingredients in anybody's kitchen without fancy equipment. Can you imagine that? I know that if I go into a kitchen, I need at least some kind of restaurant-grade stove or my jaw drops. There are people that can walk into a galley on a sailboat, and not even a big sailboat, the kind of that fella that you know, that leathery-skinned ex-hippie. He's what a wonderful person he has sailed around the world by himself in. But could go in that kitchen and put together a meal that was restaurant grade. That's not the word. Quality. Restaurant good enough to be. Well, not all restaurants are good. So your cooking's good enough to be in a greasy spoon. Oh, no thank you. But you know what I mean, a fancy restaurant. A restaurant where you'd look at the bill and you'd go, oh, no, what have I done? May I speak to the manager, owner, please? Owner, manager, is there... Can I speak to the manager, coach? And so, yes, comes out and says, I need to be able to wash dishes today because I did not realize that your gold-encrusted steak, which I got no business eating anyway, was tens of millions of dollars. And now here I am. I'm stuck in a bit of a pickle. Also, the pickle was $1,100, which I think is, I could get one a little cheaper. And then I got the idea to sell my own pickles like I'd seen Seth Rogen do on an airplane. I'm not sure where all my food ideas come from. Some of them come from our ancestors. Some of them come from this character I've just invented. Two, a little child who hid on a boat. Might be a little child from, child is from North Africa, I'm told. And they were in some sort of protest drumming group. And they hid in a barrel of apples. And they came and they're giving thanks that they're not dead and that they liked apples. Can you imagine getting being stuck in a barrel full of something? Oh, I've got a voyage across the sea. Do I have enough supplies? Oh, I'm trapped in a barrel of, what would you be okay with? Say, oh, they're Carr's table water crackers, the assortment, or barrel of Cheez-Its. What would travel with? That would be nice because not only would they would protect you like packing peanuts, or not peanut. If you're getting peanuts, you go, I'm allergic to them. That would be awful. And not maybe not fruit. Say, oh, I'm trapped in a barrel of kiwi fruit. Day four. So you want to, it's got to be something that's going to endure, perhaps. What is it that you can sleep on that you can also eat? What makes a good bed, but also a decent meal? And there's not a lot of things that qualify. Zweibach. I'm trying to think. I think probably tofu. I saw an episode of Mr. Rogers. They would occasionally go to, not literally go to factories, but what, the back in the day, the virtual reality was a VCR tape. And they put that in. You go, I've lost myself. I put the VCR tape. I've gone into another world. What's the world? A factory. I don't know. So I don't know which way to go. Like, that doesn't really betray your politics. It's a tape of a factory. I can't tell if you're right or left. Well, let's watch some workers. That's fine. I got to... No matter what you are, the crayons have to be made or something like that. So he would show things being made and factories and everything. And that's where our next little character, not little, they don't have to be little. There's a giant that works at a factory. Where? Not upstate New York. What are some other states?
Downstate, side state, to the side state, internal state.
Internal New York, not the New York that you see. It's really the difference between there's. I know that there's like kung fu like that, or there's ones or tai chi. There's just internal arts too. You can just do them inside, and nobody can see you. That way, it's not as embarrassing as pulling the moves. And say, I'm going to do some internal arts right now. I'm doing them right now. I hear the foley in my head, but nobody sees me doing it. And it calms me. And so I'm doing that right. And I do all the things I do internally instead of externally. Are you an introvert or an extrovert? I've gone beyond that. I've gone into the black hole of vert. I don't know. I'm neither. And sometimes I like to be with people, and other times I like to be with people that I've created out of paper mache. Sometimes I'll let you be the puppeteer. Say, well, why can't I just be myself? Why don't you be yourself through something else, though? I'd be more comfortable that way. Instead of talking to you, I could talk to something that you're working the mouth of. And I think we'd all feel better that way. I don't want to look anybody in the eye at a party. She's like, oh, I hate ventriloquists. Do you, though? Because I don't mind looking at... I'd rather look at something they're holding. I do that anyway. It's like, God, that guy. Did you talk to the guy who looks at your drink when he's talking to you? Yes, that's Hardy. No, I try to look people in the eye, but then I don't. About the third sentence, I go, I love you, like that or something. So I can't. It's too much. So I look away, or a lot of times I close my eyes. I close my eyes when I speak as if I'm thinking something. Really, I'm seeing the words on the inside of my, I've written them on the inside of my eyelids, very tiny. And then I got a little script I just run down. I was listening to old talk shows from the 80s and 90s, and I was listening to comedians that I used to like when I was a very young person. And before I'd met anybody, really. And then I listened to them and kind of listened to the shtick. And sometimes they do the same jokes more than once because nobody was really keeping track. Before, people were really aggressively taping the television, or there were, you know, not everything was a rerun. You could get away with that. Now, I do that all the time. Say, is there just one show? There's just one show, and at the end of every show, I hypnotize you, and you forget it, and you go back, and you go, oh, you forever have the feeling of listening to my show for the first time because you always eternally forget it. Is that my idea? You don't remember. That's fine. Relearn it all over again. Isn't that what reincarnation would be? Yes, this is my, I've experienced many lives. Do you remember any of them? No. Well, if you don't remember and you just keep doing them over and over again, that's as good as not doing them, isn't it? Yeah, so I remember just a little bit. What? I remember how uncomfortable the underwear was back in the ages. They had, it was very rough. And it was made of wool. Sometimes the wool was still on the sheep to conserve. You know that prohibition against don't eat an animal a piece at a time and leave a... What, you're asking? The Bible has to specifically, this gives you an idea of the Westerners, their souls. The Bible says that don't cut pieces off a living animal and eat it. Like, please, mercilessly kill it and then eat it. But don't, like, take a chunk off of it and keep it alive and keep it going, just to keep it fresh. Say, well, I don't want to eat this, all this, I don't want to butcher the cow now. On my trip, so I'll just cut chunks off of it. That's specifically prohibited. Now, for that to be prohibited, some horrible monster had to think, you know, at least talk about it at a bar. I don't know that. I'm convinced no one actually did it, but they got drunk and they started talking about that. And people went, oh, no, no, no. And they went and they immediately wrote it down. But I mean, maybe they did. There's an old, very old joke about a three-legged pig. So I don't know. But isn't that, that's interesting to me. So, oh my goodness. That a lot of the most evil that I wouldn't have even conceived on my own, I have learned through prohibitions. People say, don't do this. And I go, what? Don't do what? I wouldn't have even thought of that. Okay. It is kind of telling. Oh, the things we fear. What do they say about us? What do you fear? I'm afraid that the gravy is going to be cold for this big meal that we already ate, because your show's on probably after we ate. Well, what is the thing you're worried that it'll be cold? The cranberry sauce. Let me tell you something. In the future, they jellify it and put it in cans. That's the past. Okay. That's the past. What are we doing now? Well, now you can get fresh, cranberries, and you cook them, heat them up, and they pop. They pop like butter, hot butter, hocus pocus, by hot butter. And they, when they're done like that, then you add 80 cups of sugar, and you make your own sauce. And you can serve that warm or cold or room temperature. Room temperature. Oh, like hummus? Like what? Hummus is supposed to be served at room temperature? Yeah, a little warm. Get out of town. People always serve it to me like ice cream. When I've made my own hummus, you're right. It's much warmer. How about that? I was thinking it'd be much more flavorful and I'd get some of the some of the garlic smell or something would come to me if I was... All right. How about that? Oh, it's so good to visit with you. I will sing you a song of Thanksgiving. Hey, we're not fond of Thanksgiving over here. I don't celebrate personally. I call it homecoming. And traditional Thanksgiving I have rejected. Why, are you all something? I don't know what you're talking about. But I don't mind feasts and everything like that. I take what I want of a gathering or tradition. I don't feel forced to do things that are not meaningful to me. Why would I do that? Superstition or something? No. Who am I superstitious against? Puritans? I'm afraid of them. Look at their hats. That's not a top hat. What is it? What are you wearing? Did it used to come to a point and somebody cut it off? It looks like an intersected cone. Say, yeah, I took just the top off so I could set a drink on it. Y'all, I don't understand your ways. And I believe they have something. I find if your disdain of the other is so fine-tuned that it's I hate other kinds of Christians. That's amazing. Look at that. Come on, let's start. I have to start a whole country. Come on. Come on over here with your beautiful. Look at that. Look at your how you're dressed. Look at that palette. Black, gray, brown. All of them. All of the colors of your strange diminished rainbow and your gray world that you live in. I don't mind. Come on over here where you're going to die of a bad tooth. And we're going to all dine together. Now, I did learn that in school. Someone said the dining rituals of the people here, the natives, they didn't have all the foods that you're used to. Oh, where'd they come from? Everything came from Scotch-Irish people. They think they are the first people ever. So anyway, but the native people were eating different things, like seafood. What kind of seafood? River things. All the bounty of the river. Everything that's alive in a river, which is somehow even creepier than the ocean. You say, oh, there's some terrible things. Strange things deep in the ocean. Rivers have some terribly messed up things in them. Some great strange creatures. And there's some of the rivers are murky. Can you imagine the thing that would be willing to live in the depths of the river and not be discovered? Oh, shudder, shudder. So they're like sturgeons and catfish of enormous size. Big enough to eat a person. I haven't seen it done. But I know that people fear such things. And if you fear something enough, you can manifest it physically. I've seen it happen. You say, oh, they're just making a movie. That could very well be. But that doesn't mean they didn't make a giant shark or a giant robot or something that you fear. Look at that. You could say, oh, that's not a real enormous gorilla. But it's an enormous gorilla. There it is. A thing feared is a thing manifest. You bring it into this universe. It's passed on. Hey, I was walking around without fears. And then I was served some at a fear party. And then I couldn't get enough. I go, wow, this is strangely unsatisfying. It makes me crave. I'm rubbing my stomach right now thinking about all the delicious potatoes I'm going to have that are flavored with different things. Natural fats. So what are they? Nuts. Nutified potatoes. If I have potatoes with what could be on them? Walnut oil. That doesn't sound so hot. My grandmother would come home. I knew it was fall. Two things would happen. One, air temperature. Two, my grandmother would come home with a bag of assorted nuts. Nuts from all over the world. Each one of them imported, except for ones that were local. I suppose we had walnuts around. I never saw any. It's funny because I've lived all over, and they've all had some sort of indigenous nut. But I don't recall what it is. North Florida was easy. It was a pecan or a pecan or a pecan. People say it all sorts of ways, and then they criticize you if you say it the other way. So there's star-bellied sneeches and sneeches, and then star-belly snooches. There's all these fine distinctions of all these people that were different then. Nuts are like that. They're not really. They're all very different. I remember there was a hazelnut and Brazil nut and walnuts and almonds. And I think that was it. And anything else?
No.
Some other kind of exotic nut, probably. I remember the first time I ever saw a macadamia nut. I was convinced it wasn't really, it was like maybe the soft bone of some of a creature or something. It wasn't a real nut. Nuts in general have a strange texture. It's odd to bite into one. They feel like it might be soap. Like, are you sure it's not soap? Nope, keep crunching. It tastes like hard, really hard oil. Like a combination between oil and wood. That's what it is, the nut. And they're that way because I guess when they're in the wild, they contain all this evidence for a tree. You can put one together. They're instructions. They're instructions to create the thing that creates them. Strange. I come with a set of instructions that shows you how to make others to make me. I am both the recipe and the cookie. Now, I never get past that when I'm cooking. I go, I can't even hardly live in this world. What a strange one it is. I look around and I say, it's surely this must have been designed. And then I think, no. Maybe it was someone had it commissioned or something. It was designed by the lowest bidder. You can tell that. I can look around. I've been in enough construction sites where I go, okay, there is evidence for design, a teleological argument for the existence of a contractor. But then it's been subbed out to Mo, Larry, and Curly. And that's what I feel about the universe. I go, oh, this is a good idea, cheaply executed on the cheap. And here's one of the reasons I know this. Did you know that you don't see things unless you look at it? When you're not looking at them, they're not there. That's how the universe conserves energy. You say, well, I'm not gonna have this thing going if you're not watching it. It's the same with the television. Remember that? And you'd leave the room. I've always lived with relatives like that. Are you watching the television? Yeah, I went to get a snack. If you're not in the same room, turn it off. Well, hang on. I'm coming back to it. So, but that's a good argument. If you're not watching the television, why is it on? So let's conserve a little energy. And then, so when you're not looking at a thing, if a tree falls in the forest and nobody's there to hear it, does it make a sound? Make a sound? Doesn't bother to fall. Why would it bother falling? Is what I'm saying. So no, it doesn't make a sound and make any, it's not there. Prove it. You prove it. Camera. Camera's an extension of your eye. That's all. Don't be foolish. Don't be foolish with me. Are you being foolish?
No.
I'm sorry. I'm kidding you. I don't mind if you be. I'm being foolish. I thought we were being full. I thought it was that time of the night. Well, I like have a little, right around dinner, like I like to have drinks if it's a holiday. I don't mind having a little something. I don't, not during the year, I don't. But during the holidays, I'll let something accidentally ferment. I go, oh, whoops, I left the juice out. I left the passion fruit juice out. I'm going to open up pots and go, woo! Wow, it smells something. I better drink it anyway because I don't want to waste it. And then that's how you, I feel funny. So I'll do that once a year. And also, or if people bring, sometimes people like to bring booze. They'll say, hey, what'd you bring me? Oh, I brought you all this absinthe. Do you want to sit around and let's be sad and drink it? And I go, that's all of that stuff is. I can debunk all that. To debunk means to kick your brother out of the bunk bed, say, when they're full of garbage. They'll say, did you know that Thanksgiving was started by a little Italian lady named Mrs. Giuliano? And you're like, debunk. Debunk you. And you pull them down by their hair. And they scream for their parents. I don't mean literally. I never mean any of this literally. When I say pull your brother off the bed, I don't mean do that, children. A lot of what I say is what they call figurative speech. There's literal and there's figurative speech. And a lot of adults you'll listen to are speaking to you literally, except when they're not. Even when they're purporting to speak to you figuratively, they want you to see it literally. See religion. But I'm speaking to you absolutely figuratively because I don't acknowledge that there's a literal. And that's a hard, most grown-ups do. So what are you saying, Hardy? Say something that's literally true. Oh, no, you go first. That's what I always say. That's when I speak to you, my friend. I never say, oh, listen to that, I swear it's true. I never swear anything's true. That feels like a pact with the devil. Why would I do? I have no idea. I have no clue. So people say, hi, nice to meet you. I go, nice to meet you. They say, what's your name? I go, Hardy? Maybe. I don't know, honestly. I'm not trying to be Flip. I always say, that's probably who I am, ultimately, is Flip. The little character from the comics. What the hell is that? Little Nemo. Whew. Windsor McKay. Yeah, are people not reading them like they were? On the Time Machine, he's still terribly, terribly popular. Nowadays, you say, Little Nemo, and they go, fine, it's Finding Nemo, Grandpa. And you go, oh, is that a sound effect? I went into the, I had to be in a friend's video, and I was smoking a pipe. And then they had nothing to do with each other. I just wanted to go get one because I hadn't smoked in years. You know me. I quit things. And then I go, oh, I know. Maybe we're all dying. Because I think I'll look at my telescope and something will be coming at the earth. And I go, I'm going to the tobacconist. And so I went. I've got got a pipe, but I got to go in there. And I'm like, oh, I don't know if we click. You know, I feel, I don't, not that you have to click with somebody in the store, right? But I don't know how I feel about everything in there. Like I get, it's not my favorite place. Anyway, so I went in there and I was a little embarrassed. So I dressed up, you know, like I fit in. You know, how are you gentlemen doing today? Or something like that. You know, I'll tell you what, I lost all my pipes. Somebody stole them. A communist stole them or something. I didn't say that. What did I say? One of my eight wives made me sell my pipes when I was a consultant. I don't know. I'm not a very good liar.
That's not true.
That's a lie, isn't it? I don't know if a lie detector would work on me. It'd be very. I think it would be confused. They go. We're getting all sorts of things, but it doesn't really. I don't know what it corresponds to. People tried to get that baseline, and it would still be going. It's every time you answer a question, you seem to go into a panic, sir. I know, I don't know what to tell you. And it seems like equal panic, whether it's a lie or not. There you go. It's communication that I feel guilty for, not the truth or lies. I feel bad for stating anything at all. And so, yes, I have emotional reaction. I'm not an automan. I'm not an automan. Is auto man, no, has it, someone's done that. Anything man. They exhausted all the superhero ideas week one. I'm convinced, right? They go, what's a week? They just sat around drunk. Going, everything man, drum man, floor man, sky man, ball man. Write them all, you're writing them down. Yeah, cup man, bigger cup man, red cup man. And so they went through and they got them all. And then they, what do you call it when you trademark them? And then we're done. That's got all thought through. It's like cubism. It has an end date. You say, oh, that's the date cubism ended. So everybody stop. Please put down your brushes. We're ending cubism. Also fauvism. All that ended today. And they say, oh, I'm sorry. I was still painting. I was a little bit. You know, I was impressionists, like about 2 years afterwards. It's very embarrassing. So now you'll know it's a lot easier. The paints they have now, a lot of the digital paints won't even work if you're doing it in the wrong style. They'll just shut down like a drone next to the airport. I feel that some way at parties. Like my body knows when I'm at the wrong. I don't know, it's a chip or something. It knows when it's in the wrong space sometimes. You can breathe through it. You're going to breathe through it. You're all right. Whatever. It doesn't work here. It's okay. Happened to Jesus a couple times. That's, you know, Jesus even says that in the Bible. He went to, I don't think my stuff works here. It's got to be, the audience is a big part of it, right? So, yeah, I got powers. Do they work everywhere? You know? No. Well, they could if you're receptive. I don't get a receptive audience. Are you Jesus now? No, I'm back to being Hardy. Then it doesn't work. So it's a collaborative effort, I believe. Story hearing, storytelling. And people agree to laugh. You've noticed that. If you've ever paid money to go laugh, say, I've got tickets to the laugh. You're going to laughs? Yes, I've got tickets to laughs. I'm taking a friend, and they're a little pricey. Who's on the bill? Pippi Manaman, something like that. Pop, 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 pop. I know the syllables. I don't know what letters are in the name, but it's a fun sounding name. Dip, 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 like that. And as seen on, they had an HBO special. I think now.
I had an HBO special.
Did you? I did not. So it's not everybody. But I'm going to see them. And so we paid a lot of money. And we got a table kind of up front. And the performer is abusive. So that if you don't laugh, you feel, you know, like, if I don't laugh, they're going to like, you, sir, you're too heavy. You're overweight and your hair's falling out a long time ago. Look at you, something on your nose too. You go, oh my gosh. I better laugh because they're looking at me. So I know I'm going to laugh. I know it's money well spent. I'm going to go there and I'm going to yuck it up at yuck yucks or laugh laughs. And I feel that way even sitting around that. Why did you come over? That's a thing. I've asked that before. Say, you get to a little part of the little silence in the conversation, and you just got to say, you know, why are you even here? Why did you even come to my house? I said, you invited me. You said, let me entertain you. Oh, you said, literally, let me entertain, like I'm entertaining.
Oh.
So entertain me, funny man. All right. I stand corrected. Is there something that y'all like to do? I like to play. My family used to, with things, when my grandfather stopped drinking, he turned to dice. And you go, oh, that doesn't sound very good. Not the kind you're thinking. First, it was Yahtzee. He and my grandmother would play Yahtzee. Cocktail hour would roll around and go, oh, I got to do something. So I got to have a cup in my hand. So my grandma's like, how about a dice cup? And they would play Yahtzee. Now, about the mid-60s, up comes on the scene this new game called Kismet, and they add color to the dice so you can play full-on poker hands. So you can have flushes, you can have two pairs same color, which is not really a poker hand as far as I know. You can have that kind of thing, full house same color. Do you follow me? And they switched over to Kismet, and they would play that dice game at 5 o'clock every day. and I would play with them. And there's rules. I know there's not many, and you learn them in about 2 seconds. And then there's strategy, which also you can teach someone in under a minute. And then there's etiquette, which takes a lifetime to learn if you're with my grandfather. My grandfather didn't like the real loud, the dice clattering in the plastic cup, so he got a leather cup. And so the sound of the dice rolling, of being shaken was pop, 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 pop. It was a pop, pop instead of a clack, clack. Pop, 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 pop. And then on the tablecloth. And then you know, you have your three turns. And then when you were done, before you write anything down, you put the dice in and you pass the cup. Then you write your score down. You don't sit there going 5, 10, 15, 20 like that. And you know, put the dice in the cup and pass it. And I learned that's part of the etiquette. There is a bonus on the top section where you just write down how many ones you got or how many twos. And if you get over 3 of each, you know, 3 ones, 3 twos, 3 threes, then you get a little bonus. So sometimes you're forced to take less than you want. So you go, oh, I got these 2 ones. I can't do anything. I'll take them in my ones. I'll take a 2. My grandmother would write -1, meaning she's down 1 for the upper section for getting her bonus. Calculate it that way. That way, maybe that 4 of a kind, all those 5s, take them up top, man. Make up for that top section bonus deficit in Kismet. Don't mean that literally. Oh, bless you. I'm so sorry. I thought this is originally was a sermon that I wrote for Thanksgiving. And I ended up not giving it. And the reason was is because I talked about a lot of eating different things. And it made some people uncomfortable. Because biological life crunches and chews up and eats one another. Right? It eats. I got that far. I only got about 2 pages into denial of death because he's like, oh, biological life, we all grinding each other up with our teeth and then we poo each other out, blah, 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 blah. And then I learned that this fella passed away right after he wrote it in 1974. And I was like, no, I'm not even going to think about death. So what I like to think about food. And so I want to think about you and I eating. But like I said, I didn't want to make it as a sermon because people say, oh, food's touchy. Yeah, but that's the one thing that we do all have in common is eating. Well, no. And if you can't eat together, like I say, I have different dietary restrictions, so we cannot dine together. I always feel that sad. And I know there's reasons to go, no, my religion says that I can't sit down to share the most basic human need with you, or any of them, really. I mean, if you wanted to go into it, really, there's more than just eating. But, and I don't know, I say, oh, that's so sad. Because I would like to, I'll impose myself on anybody's meal. Say, hey, y'all, you mind +1 for dinner? Can I come in? Go, no, thank you. It's just for family. I go, we're all family, aren't we? No, not you. Person. And but I guess the other end, you know, if you don't want to have them in, if they really do eat something terribly different. And that's why a lot of this space in space sci-fi fiction say, gosh, then you're up against, say, could you eat with an alien that's eating something really crazy? I think in The Mandalorian there's the baby was eating the other characters' babies. And you say, well, that's horrifying. I don't get it. People loved it. People loved the series. I don't get it. You know? No, it was cute. It was cute. He's eating it. It depends what the other species is, doesn't it? Or does it? I guess it depends on who you are. So if you're like a fish alien, don't eat my babies. My Ro. I call them all Ro until I can identify them. And then I give them separate names. Now, this may be one of those times where you do like something traditional, like the radio, and I wish that I had some sound effects or music go with it. I was listening to some Jack Benny show, That's back from our not just our parents' days, but our older, our brother who's 111. And I don't know if you've heard any of the old shows, but people listen to them on radio. And I've been listening to them, and I keep looking at the screen. I keep thinking there's a picture. Because actually, Jack Benny also had a TV show. So it's not unheard of for there to be stuff that goes along with it. Now, some are radio jokes where it helps not to say, like, oh, my vault, you know. But then they recreated it on TV. I don't know how I feel about that. Let me think for a minute. I don't have that luxury. I don't have the luxury of thinking or redoing something. I do, but I don't take it. Why? Because, like Thanksgiving, I want to get it done. I want to get it not over with, but I want to get to it. I want to get in it. I want to get into it. I want it to start. One of the things that I do have fond memories about Thanksgiving are Thanksgiving Day parades. And I can remember my first Thanksgiving babe, just like it was yesterday. Well, welcome to the first annual Thanksgiving Day Parade. I have a parade sound. Don't think I couldn't use it. I could totally use it. This is an artistic choice not to. You don't have to, not everything has to be loaded up with sound effects and everything. You can use your imagination or think, oh, you know, listen, the things I'm saying right now, they could literally just be piped in over a parade. There's no real, and the shouting, I never got that. You got headphones on, you don't have to shout. You could just say, I'm standing here at the side of the parade, and it's a nice parade, and you can hear me because I got one of these great old microphones. I use a microphone. Now, a lot of the younger people that do the POD casts or even traditional radio use a different sort of mic than I do. I use an old-time radio mic. I use a 70s old radio reporter mic, the kind you use on site, you know. And sometimes you'll see them in the, what was I watching? I think it was the Sun Ra movie or something. They kept having my mic. It was like, my mic! Because it's like from the 60s, 70s. It's an old mic. And I got it from an old public radio station. And they lent it to me. I didn't know they lent it to me. I thought they gave it to me. And to do some segments. Some man on the streets or something like that. And I just said, well, I might do some in the future. I'll hold on to it. And then 30 years later. So 30 years later, I'm still holding on to it, but it's nice, and I've been taking good care of it. When the first time I ever spoken to anything in radio was one of those ones that looks like a big Tylenol tablet and said RCA on it, and I thought, ow, not only am I on radio, but I'm on radio in the 1940s, you know? My name is Harry something from the Third Man. I'll have to look it up because I forget my name, but it'll come to me. It's an Orson Welles. I know you're yelling it. It's very frustrating for me, too. Harry, I can go through the alphabet, Harry. Harry A. Well, I'm kind of stuck on that one. Harry B, Harry C, Harry D. Well, listen, it doesn't matter. Join me now for adventures that can only be had on the radio. Yes, I will take your case, Mr. Akhenaten, and I will investigate your life. So I love doing that. That made me feel like I was really on, well, like people still liked radio. But I had started well after that, when they were like, I don't think I like radio anymore. And radio was going, no, hold on now, come on. And it did that it's done that for a few more years, and a couple more decades it got out of it. Oh, come on, please. Long after the listener knew the relationship was over, the radio still begged and begged and begged. And then now it's like this robot. Now it's like your ex died, and then it went into a robot. And you go, are you my ex that's in a robot? No, I am now different. I am not radio. I am Computer Future Radio. I don't think you are. I think you're that thing that was around here that we used to call radio. Now you've just hopped on the internet like everybody else. They're going to, if they upload my consciousness to something, and I don't know what it would be, I guess a video game or something like that. You'd have to pay for it. Nothing would be free. That's the thing about the future. They didn't make that clear. They go, in the future, there will be all this. And they propose all this stuff. And they go, you know, it's going to cost an arm and a leg, though. So they didn't make it clear. It wasn't for everybody. Oh, I should have known. You know, when people say, oh, where's my flying car? It's not they got them, buddy. You just can't afford one. The engineering is not the problem. You know, it's just you thought there was a different political situation than there was. So it's like, well, we could cure disease. Yeah, we can, but not for you, not right now. We're busy. Did you ever see Being There? So I really love not my holidays because I feel like they're fraught, but I mean other people's holidays that I don't understand. And especially if they are, I don't even care if they're made up. How would I know? If I go, I'm coming over to your house, we're going to do your traditions. And go, all right, we just made them up to make a fool of you. That's lovely. I love that. That sounds like a tradition. So I think, there's a Latin for it. You proved my point. I know you say occasionally you sound like you've been to school, but most of the time you don't. Did you work at a school? Oh, yeah, that's beautiful. What are you, a detective? That's true. Yes, the thing is, if you do maintenance, sometimes you go like, you just some stuff sinks in, but then you got to leave usually before the point of the lesson is explained. So, yeah, I get a little things here and there, and then I move on, and then I mistake that for an education, and I make decisions, and then I hire myself out based on this expertise that I don't have, and I do feel guilty about that. But the guilt comes from my extensive religious background, which I've also studied very hard to feel bad as I do things. Sometimes I feel bad when I do good, and I think that's, somebody did that. What do you mean? I'm just kidding. I'm trying to scandalize you. I probably think about things a little less than you think I do, because I probably want you to think that I'm thinking. I don't know that I am. I think that I'm still, there was a Doctor Who called In the dark shadow of the silent shadow demon. And they're in a library. Silence in the library. That's what it was called. And they were in their spacesuits, were able to record their consciousness for a little bit. So they'd die. And then their consciousness would get stuck in the suit a little bit. And they'd go like, where am I? Why are the lights out? But they'd already be dead. Ooh, it was really spooky. And that happened to me ages ago, I think. I guess is what I'm saying. And no one's opened up my spacesuit. I'm dead inside. I died inside. What was it? What do you think it was? I think it was the culture. But it could be my. It could have been my decisions. But somehow I feel like, and I know this from art, I don't blame myself. So I know that I might be on, not autopilot, but my soul, I might be a zombie. A sort of artistic zombie. I know I'm not. Oh, my friend. Even if I were, how's that bad company? People go, oh, I don't like zombies. If they're indistinguishable from somebody who is not one, do you have a problem with that? I think that's a philosophy thing. So if you can't tell if something has consciousness or not, if they present absolutely the same. It's a zombie, not a zombie. Your clone. Not the kind of clone where the next door neighbor's dogs. But I mean like that I would clone complete with memories. Zombie, not a zombies. Have consciousness? Is consciousness inherent in the... Listen. I'm going to give you now a recipe. And this is, so, two cans of those large cans of San Marzano tomatoes. Now you're going to be crushing them with your hands and retaining the juice. And the only part you want to really get rid of is a little hard nubby where, near the stem. Get rid of that so that your marinara sauce is nice and smooth. And you're gonna fry up some, you're gonna cube your, do about, oh, I don't know. I don't even know. Like a quarter cup of chopped onions and a few cloves of garlic chopped up. Do the onions first. Saute them just a little bit till they're kind of soft. Do the garlic real quick. Never burn your garlic. It becomes acrid. And then get those tomatoes in there real fast. And cook it. Cook it. Salt and pepper. And then you can add stuff at the end if you want to add some herbs or stuff, junk at the end. And then just cook the heck out of it. For how long? At least an hour. Do an hour. And then at the end of an hour, get takeout. Why? Because I want the sauce. Send it over here. Am I right? Who? What other characters are coming to our Thanksgiving? Maybe Hardy White will be there. Who is Hardy White? Hardy White is your friend. I am a character. I am an imaginary radio character from the past, present, and future. I'm here during holidays. I'm able to speak to you as an old friend would. I'm here to remind you of certain things. I am like a ring around your finger that's here to bring you a message from yourself in the past or from who you would like to have been in the past. That message, my friend. Wrap your arms around yourself. Oh, your very existence is amazing. Be on your own. Oh, you don't know me, and what a terrible... Yeah, that doesn't matter. You're fine. No, you don't know my... Oh, listen, I'm telling you. You're underestimating my or anybody else's knowledge of how awful the human soul and experience, everything can be. And people, listen, I'm telling you, just for this moment, we'll go back to punishing you later. We're going to let go of that right now. And you say, oh, I'm going to love me like Hardy White. The way, how does Hardy White love you? I can love you perfectly because I don't know you. And I'm not really doing it. So I say, oh, I love you, my friend. And I am, sort of. It's both true and not true. Use it. Oh, we have a friendship. You recognize in me a struggle, another human being. And you can say, well, if this imperfect person can say things like, I'm going to take care of old Hardy. Well, maybe I'll pick up on a little bit of that. Nobody's going to know that I've done it. No one will know that you've been kind to yourself. They'll just think that you started a workout routine or you're drinking more water. Say, oh, no, maybe I just started, like, you know, giving myself some credit for enduring this experience. Oh, let me wrap my arms around you. I'd love seeing you every Thanksgiving. That's what I can give thanks. I understand that part. Thank you. Thank you, my friend, for giving me your love. Oh, you've done wonderful things. I'm a fragile, stupid lump of cells, and you have been kind to me. And I will remember it when I take my true form as Master Prospero-like wizard. And I call forth all of the spirits and that I've done that have enabled me to use my magic. And just let me do this one last thing. And then I'm going to break my spear, drown my book, and I'm going to drive on home. And thank you for letting me work a little, not magic, but I don't know what it is, confusion. That I brought into the world. Thank you for letting me do this on Miracle Nutrition with Hardy White on WFMU East Orange, WMFU Mount Hope, 91.9 in Rockland County and New York City, New York, and online at WFMU.org worldwide. Thank you so much for being my friend. Thank you so much for lending me your ear, and I'll see you again next week.
name was Ebony. Her name was Mahogany. Twins' 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 name was Ebony.